pastors Victory Baptist Church in North Augusta. And he's done fixed that for me. And he's God's man for this time right here. I want you to hear him gladly. He'll take us up to about 8 o'clock. And Brother CT, you come on around. You do what God wants you to do. I love you, brother. Amen.
Well, if you're glad to be saved, say amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 7 tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. We'll take a look at God's word for just a few minutes. It is an honor and a privilege to get to be here. I thank God for this meeting. I thank God for Brother Dagenhart. Thank God for the friends that I have here. And it's just a real joy to be able to come to meetings like this. Got both of my sons with me, Siler and Tucker, on this trip with me. And I'm glad that they can be exposed to meetings like this. And there's another generation coming along. And I'm thankful that there's meetings like this that are still happening. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. If you're there, say amen. Verse number 12 or verse number 11, let's take a look at God's word. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Verse 12 is what I'm interested in tonight. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd touch your word. Help us tonight. God, may you help me to say everything I need to say and nothing that I do not. May you get glory and honor and praise. And I pray, God, you'd help me to be a vessel that you can use here tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. I don't know that I have ever preached a sermon out of 1 Samuel chapter number 7 on this text, but this morning I woke up and began to pray and ask the Lord what he would have me to do, and my mind began to ponder on and think around and rejoice over 1 Samuel chapter number 7, and this stone that Samuel set up and called Ebenezer, declaring, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I remember my dad, when I was a kid, preached on this text. And this morning, I got to spend a little time with the Lord and with his word. And several truths and things popped off the page and helped me. And Preacher Brown always said, if it'll help you, it might help somebody else. So I'm just going to preach to you what helped me this morning. But we know that the Israelites were in trouble. They were in a warfare with the Philistines. And the Philistines, a perpetual enemy of the people of God, and they are coming against them, and it looks like Israel is going to be destroyed. Matter of fact, when Israel hears in the previous verses that that the Philistines are coming against them, they are fearful, they are nervous, they are saddened, and know that that destruction is on the way. Oh, but they call for Samuel and say, please don't cease and praying and giving sacrifices. And Samuel goes and begins to make sacrifices unto the Lord. And the Bible said that as he was giving the sacrifice to God, while he was giving the sacrifice to God, as he was giving the sacrifice to God, that God, a great thunder came, and God delivered and God defeated the enemy that day, sent them into mass confusion. They thought there were more Israelites than there actually were. They took off running, and there was a great destruction that day and a great victory for the people of God. Samuel, understanding that it was not Israel that could say and flex their muscles and say, what a mighty warfare we had. Samuel, understanding it was not our physical might or our military might, but Samuel having the spiritual discernment and understanding to declare, ladies and gentlemen, had it not been the Lord that was on our side, there is no way way that we would have won this battle. It was Samuel that was declaring that we should have lost that battle. The odds were against us. There was no way we should have been able to win this battle. But God in heaven heard our prayer and defeated the enemy for us. And Samuel went out between Mizpah and Shin and took a stone. Bring me the stone, Alex or Siler. Come help you, Daddy. Bring me that stone and just set it right here for me. Would you do that, Siler? Good boy. Y'all give Siler a hand. Ain't he doing a good job? Samuel comes and puts a stone between Mizpah and Shin and declared and named this stone Ebenezer, declaring, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I want to focus in on this stone for just a little few minutes tonight, and I'll get out of the way. I'm looking forward to the preaching tonight. But I want to say, first of all, that this is a stone of memorial for them. It is a stone of memorial. Samuel understands that what God did on this day is not just something to know for the generation now, but it is something for generations to pass on for them to know about what God did today. I believe it is very important that we remember what God has done for us. I believe it is very important that we remember, we recall, we rehearse the things that God has done for you and for me. And on days when we don't feel like God's anywhere near, and we feel like days when we feel like God can't do anything, we can go back and rehearse and remember what God has done and the great things that God has done for you and me. How many like to go down memory lane every now and then and remember and recall the good things of God? I began to study this morning on these memorial stones and all that God has done. I began to find the very first memorial stone that we find in Scripture is in the book of Genesis, chapter number 28 and verse number 10, where Jacob sleeps on a stone and God comes to him and gives him a vision. And the very next day when he realizes that he had met with God, he takes that stone that was a rocky, hard place to sleep and turns it over into a stone of memorial. I'm going to call it tonight a stone of gratitude, where God met with him in this stone of gratitude in Genesis chapter number 28. In Joshua chapter number 4, Joshua and them are going across the riverbank, and before they go to the other side, he commands them, "Boys, grab some stones from the depths of what should be the Jordan River. Get them out of the bottom. Get them boulders. And when we get into the promised land, I want you to erect those stones in the promised land as a memorial for what God brought us through, what God did for us." Let's call this the stone of remembrance, where they could look back at these 12 stones scattered out and maybe somebody come by and say, "What's these 12 stones all about?" And it would cause them to remember and say, "Let me tell you, children, about the day when it looked like we were going to be devastated and destroyed, and God parted the waters back, and in the middle of these waters, we picked up these stones and carried them to a promised land to testify about how good and how faithful and how wonderful God has been." These are stones of remembrance. But when we come to 1 Samuel chapter number 7, we find these are a stone of help. Where in this text where Samuel comes and he puts this rock in the middle between Mizpah and Shin as a testimony, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I thank God for that word "help" tonight, as Samuel understood that it wasn't our captains that helped us, it wasn't our firepower that helped us, it wasn't our swords that helped us, but it was the name of God that helped him in that day. And all the people of God in this day and hour, all that America would understand, the only reason we are where we are today and the only reason you are where you are tonight is because somewhere along the line there's been a good God that knew you by name and has helped you along the way. No wonder the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." No wonder Psalm 46 and 1 said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." No wonder Isaiah 41 said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be
not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. No wonder Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Aren't you glad, ladies and gentlemen, in 2023 we still serve a God that cares enough about us to help us in the midst of our battles? These stones are a stone of memorial to remember what God has done. I love going back to the mountains where I was raised, and I love taking a little drive outside of Charleston in a little area called Witcher's Creek, West Virginia, where there is a little tiny Baptist church in the back of that little mountain called Estes Memorial Baptist Church. I could take you inside that church and show you the exact nail where that altar place was, where I knelt as a kid and called on the name of Jesus. It is a memorial in my mind that I can take you back and remember the day that God saved my soul. We could take out of there, and I could take you to the left and go up the holler some more, and I'll find this little deep spot in the creek up there beside the mountains. We didn't have no baptistries then. We had a creek. Somebody say amen. And it didn't matter if you got saved in January or June. That's where you was a-going, ladies and gentlemen. And I could take you to that place. There's been many times since I've been called to preach that I've drove back into those mountains and just sat by that creek. I can almost hear them singing the songs of Zion as the church would gather around and the preacher and his deacons would go down into that water. I still remember that time when it was me, when I got baptized. It's a memorial in my mind. I can take you back to that little place where God dealt with my heart and called me to be a preacher of the gospel. I've sat in that parking lot many a times when I've been discouraged and defeated and remembered what God did in my heart in those days. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get some memorials in your life that you can go back and remember how God has been good to you. This is a stone of memorial for Israel. Number two, this stone was a testimony to others. I can see other people walking down that road between Mizpah and Shin. What's that? I'm glad you asked. And the whole story of how it looked as if God's people would be defeated, but an opportunity to testify to the power of a holy God. One of the most powerful things you and I have and possess today is a testimony. We are to protect our testimony. We are to tell our testimony because there is a lost and dying world. And what a joy it is to have some testimonies stored in our life that other people can walk by and say, what are you talking about? And I can say, well, you don't understand. My grandpa was an alcoholic and my dad was an alcoholic, but my dad got born again by the power of God. And a few weeks later, my mom got born again by the power of God. And it wasn't long after that I was born into this world and I got to be raised in a church house. I got to be raised in a home, a Christian home. And when I was getting older and when I was growing up inside of this church, I heard the gospel. I got the opportunity to respond to the gospel. And the same God that saved my daddy and the same God that saved my mama was the same God that knew me my name and saved me, knowing everything I'd ever be, knowing everything I'd ever done. You may not think much about it, but honey, there ought not ever be a time when you don't rehearse your testimony, when it don't draw up on the inside of you and you say, praise God for the testimony that God has given us. A testimony is wonderful because God's not a respecter of persons. Here's what we can say. Praise God. If God's done something for you, then God can do something for me. Number two, about a testimony. If God, Brother Steve, can do it for your generation, then God can do it for my generation. Amen.
Amen. I turned 41 years old this year, and I'm raising kids. Tucker just turned 13. I've been crying all weekend. I have no clue how a little tiny baby has turned into a grown boy. He's about as big as I am. He's wearing my pants, my shoes. He's a big old boy. Amen. But I wonder how in the world that happened. And I'm noticing as I get older, the crazy stuff that I used to get mad at my dad for when he was raising me, I don't get near as mad about it anymore. I worry about the generation of kids that are being raised. I think, my God, what are they going to be raised in? We are living in a confused generation. We are living in a carnal generation. We are living in a sin-sick generation. They are confused out of their mind. They are sexually confused. They are morally confused. They are socially confused. And we're living in a generation when it seems like people want to bury their heads in the sand. But ladies and gentlemen, we must not be confused about it, but we must open up the Word of God and preach it as straight as an arrow. We don't hate nobody. I'm not even mad at nobody. But at the end of the day, if God says it's right, it's right. And if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not my job to live or be in a popularity contest. It's my job and your job to preach the Word of God. Why? Because there's a generation coming up that needs to know God. They need to know the ways of God. They need to know the things of God. And I'm so glad. It does me good to come to meetings like this, because a meeting like this says this: if God can do it in your generation, and if God can send revival in your generation, then God can send revival in my generation. And if God can send revival in my generation, then my kids are going to be in good hands, because David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. There is a testimony that we can hold on to from generation to generation. This stone was a testimony to others. This stone is a reminder to the enemy. It's a reminder to the enemy. Maybe they walking by that stone, and it brings them pain to remember the day when they had all the numbers and all the odds in their favor. But here comes God right on time. Imagine the embarrassment, the frustration, the anger, all of the emotions they have to go through every time somebody from the Philistine side had to see that old stone. It was a stone that was a reminder to the enemy. What does it do to the devil when he knows who you used to be? Some of y'all may have forgot, but he ain't never forgot. He knows what you used to be. He knows where you used to roam. He knows how you used to live. And he remembers the day when you bowed your head to a thrice holy God, repented of your sins, the Holy Ghost moved in, hell moved out, God saved your soul. He remembers that day, and every time he sees you shout and give God glory, it brings the devil pain, as it's a reminder to him of what he lost the day that God saved your soul. Oh, I thought about times that the enemy lost and stones that were attached to it. I couldn't help but think this morning about Daniel, how they threw him in the lion's den. And the Bible said, and a stone was brought. They put that stone, and surely the king had done all he could to try to get him out of it. But all night long they thought, surely old Daniel's going to be destroyed and devoured in that lion's den. But the only thing they didn't know is that God was in that lion's den with him, helping him. The next day they come and take that stone away, only to find Daniel in perfect health, in perfect condition, as God had been his help in the middle of the night. And that stone that used to be there was a testimony, and it was a reminder to the enemy that this man that you couldn't get to quit praying, they tried to conspire on him, but God delivered him anyhow. I couldn't help but think about those five smooth stones that David got out of the brook that day, and he picked those up, and old Goliath come out and said, I'm going to feed you to the fowls of the air. And David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to you in
in the name of the Lord. And that day that stone hit that Goliath right between the eyes, and down he fell, not as a testimony to a mighty David, but as a testimony to a mighty God. And these stones are a reminder to the enemy. But did you know that the Lord laid a stone down in Isaiah 28 and 16? The Bible said, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." You see, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived perfect. He lived spotless. He never lied. He never did a bad deed. He never had a bad thought. He was God wrapped up in flesh. They lied on him. They conspired on him. They did everything they could to find fault in him. But even Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." They lied and conspired against him. They hung him to a cruel Roman cross. But hear me, they did not kill Jesus. But upon Calvary, he's the only man of all time that had the authority and the power to say, "Lungs, quit breathing. Heart, stop beating." And upon Calvary, he said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And he gave up the ghost. And the Bible said that the earth began to shake. You want to know what happened when the earth began to shake? Not only did the veil rip from top to bottom, but the stones split because there was such a power in the atmosphere. Jesus had just said a few chapters earlier, when the Pharisees come by and said, "Would you please tell them to hold their peace?" And Jesus said, "If these hold their peace, the rocks are going to cry out." And that day when the earth grew silent and grew dark, the rocks began to cry out all over the place as the rocks split all over the place. But that ain't the only rock that's involved in this story, because when they got him off the cross and when they got him off the tree, they laid him in a tomb, and all of hell began to party, thinking they had defeated the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on day one. And on day two, they thought they had defeated and stopped the redemptive plan of God. But the reason we can celebrate when a Muslim can't celebrate, and the reason we can rejoice when a Buddhist can't rejoice, is because when it comes to my Jesus, when it comes to my Savior, the grave couldn't hold him and death couldn't keep him. The stone was rolled away. What does it do to the devil when he go by and see that stone that he had sealed but yet couldn't hold back? The Rock of Ages. This stone is a reminder to the enemy. And then number four, and lastly, and I'm done before the light turns red. This stone, my people sure wish I'd preached 30 minutes. Don't y'all tell them I can do it. This stone is a promise for the future. The word Mizpah is the watchtower. The word Shin means tooth or a sharp rock. I almost titled tonight, "What to Do When You Get Stuck Between a Rock and a Hard Place." But have you ever known what it's like to be between two places? And you're praying, "Oh God, we need your help." And Yain, this stone was strategically put in between two places. And it was called Ebenezer. And Samuel said, Ebenezer, defined, means this: "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. My daddy's at home, preacher. Sick, cancer riddled through his body. Hadn't been out of bed much at all in weeks. Taking chemo, all kinds of drugs. Hair falling out of his head faster than he can comb it. And I want to preach this sermon for the Lord tonight. But
I felt like I needed to preach a little bit from my dad tonight. A sermon he always preached to all his people. And a sermon he always preached to me. And he would say it like this. That in redneck theology, what Samuel was trying to say, when he said Ebenezer, meaning hitherto, hath the Lord helped us. God had just brought a great victory to the people of God. And Samuel was man enough to say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to come around the corner. I don't know the next phone call that's going to take place. I don't know. We could be the next family that's in line for a storm to hit our life. I've learned this in my short lifetime, that one phone call can absolutely change everything. And Samuel was man enough to say, I don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't know what's going to take place on the next day or the next day. But what I do know is enough to carry me through what I don't know. Because what I do know is that when it comes to my God, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That means there's not one single time in the past where I can remember him letting us down. That means there's not one single memory where God did not come through. That means there's not one single time, Daddy, that God has let us down. There's not one single time where he wasn't there to wipe our weeping eyes. That means there hadn't been one single time when I felt like I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, that he didn't give me the strength to walk another mile. And Samuel was saying, if God could bring us up to here, and if God could help us up to here, then I believe that my God is able to take us the rest of the way. And maybe, just maybe, there's somebody under the tabernacle tonight, and you're facing a storm in your house, you're facing a storm in your community, and the devil's told you that God's forsaken you and that God can't help you where you are. But God sent a little preacher by, a nobody, to tell you this, that if God has provided before, then God can provide tomorrow. And if God has healed before, then God can heal tomorrow. If God can meet a financial need yesterday, God can meet a financial need tomorrow. He was God before we got here. He's God while we're here. He'll be God after we're gone. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to praise God that he is a God that has taken care of his people. These stones in our lives, every now and then, will help us to recall the goodness of God. And when we feel like there's no way out, and we feel like there's no way I'm going to make it through this storm, I can take a gander back at that stone that's in the middle and say, I remember when I thought I'd never make it out of that one, but God brought me through. And I'll be honest, I don't know how we're going to make it through the storm our family's in right now, but I do know that the same God that took care here and here and there and there, and that God, when we lost our child, that brought us through that, is the same God that can take us through this. And I remember this one and this. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but based on his character and testimony, I can trust the fact that God is enough to take us the rest of the way. Father, thank you for an opportunity to preach to your people. I pray in some way it was a help and a blessing. Lord, I thank you for the Ebenezers that are in our life. Lord, I thank you, God, we can recall and remember and celebrate and worship and praise you over how many times you have been extremely good to us. Thank you for seeing us through and bringing us through and watching over us. Now, Lord, I pray you'd bless the remainder of the service. I pray, God, you'd give the next preacher the anointing that he stands in need of. Help us tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me preach in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. I love you. Bless y'all. Amen. It's probably been about 2.5, 3 years ago, maybe a little longer.